It's good to see everybody here today. I will try not to bore you too much, but if I see anybody snoozing, I'm just going to let it happen. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we get to be together. Father, I pray that as I seek to share your word, I pray that you would speak through me. God, let your glory shine. Lord, the message that you have for us here today, I pray that you would not let me get in the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I think it's safe to say that if you're here right now, then God has either brought you out of something or is currently bringing you through something. Really, I'm talking about the thing that made you realize that you needed a Savior in the first place. What was the catalyst that made you choose Christ? Was it the thought that no matter what, you always seem to mess things up a little bit? Because I know that's true for me. It doesn't matter how good I'm doing, there's always going to be something that I could have done just a little bit better. You're not alone. I'm not alone. We've all had our ups and downs. Sometimes they happen in the same 24-hour period. For now, let's just keep that thought simmering on the back burner. And while you're simmering, go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're not going to read it just yet, but we will be getting into that later. But I think we should probably begin now by asking ourselves what it means and what it can look like to choose life or to choose death. And when we get up each day, that we have to remember that we're given a choice. We can either choose to get up and get the day going, or as most of us, myself included, thanks to my wonderful wife, we choose to hit that snooze button, choose to snooze. And we would all feel a little bit better if we just got up, right? But those extra couple of minutes, just they seem so good. Like it's like when you've been reaching into the bag of chips and you just want a couple more, but your stomach hurts. And you don't want more because you need it. You want more because you want it. The texture feels good. The taste is nice. And it's the same way with a lot of things. We'll get caught up in things that we don't really need, but we want it just because we want it. And there's not really anything else to say about it. But it might seem like a small thing, but that extra 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, it sets the tone for the whole day. Because once you've woken up once, when you go back to sleep, your body starts that sleep cycle all over again, and it doesn't matter what you do. Unless you have an entire sleep cycle again, that snooze button is just going to make you feel worse. There's my little advice for the day. Take it and do what you will. But it really can. It can set the mood and it can change the entire day. I know that there's been times when I get up and I'm awake. And hey, I get up, I go make coffee, I do my thing, I get out and I greet the world with open arms and I feel like I've done great. But then there are days when I wake up and maybe I didn't sleep so good, and then I hit that snooze button, and then it just sets the tone, and I'm grumpy. Everything irritates me. I don't want to look at people, see people, talk to people, all that kind of stuff. And I know it's just because I'm tired. So I'm talking about choosing between life and death. Choosing life seems easy, right? Choosing life sounds like a given. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to get up and I'm going to choose life. Because what person in their right mind would choose death? Really. But this is the thing about it. See, nature hates a vacuum. And when we choose anything other than the good things that God has for us, then by default, we're choosing death. We have to bear in mind that everything that we do, everything is a choice that we make. We're made up of the choices that we make. And that includes the bad choices and the decision not to decide. Anybody that's in here that's been in our adult Bible study in the morning, they've probably heard me quote this, but to quote Geddy Lee of Rush, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. I don't really like a lot of their music, but that one line has resonated with me for years because there's so much truth in it. If you choose not to decide, it's literally a choice, and you're choosing inaction. Now, what does all this have to do with anything? Well, that's where it starts to get good. This is the fun part. You see, God loves us very much, and he loves us so much, in fact, that he gave us this thing called free will, okay? And God's will is that we would choose to freely love him, that we would use that free will that he's given us to choose him. It seems simple, right? It seems like it would be the most logical choice in the entire universe. Would I choose death or do I choose God? No brainer, right? Yeah, easier said than done, usually. So this is something that even the angels in heaven don't have, and the enemy had to steal. Free will is a gift. Our free will is a big reason that the devil hates us so much, honestly. It makes him jealous, and he wants to see us disappoint God. He wants to try to get us back to the place that we were before God found us. And he does that in a really, really tricky way. He likes to offer us little choices that look really good. And this is another thing I've talked about in the early morning Bible study is it's Satan's lies. It's like a bucket of white paint that's got the tiniest little spot of black in it. And at first glance, you might not even really tell that it's darkened. But even the tiniest little speck of black will turn an entire gallon of paint gray. And you might not even be able to tell until you put it up against a swatch that's not been contaminated with the black paint. But there's nothing that you can do to take that black paint back out of that white paint. It's just always there, and you always have gray paint. It's going to say on the paint can, white, but you know that there's that little bit of corruption in there. And that's what we have to be careful about. Because it can look really, really good. It can look really close to the real thing. Like, I know that's probably not completely white, but it can look really, really close. But it's just a little bit off. And so we have to be really, really careful, and we have to be sensitive to what God says about things. So that way we have the discernment to know whether or not things are legit. He puts just enough truth in those lies to make them believable. But fortunately, for you and me and all the boys and girls in the world, we have the Word of God. He's written it out. He's laid it all down. And we can look to that to find out what's true and what is not. Because if it doesn't line up with this in here, then I don't put a lot of stock in it, honestly. But throughout Scripture, there are plenty of situations where people were left with a choice. I'm sure we could probably all think of a few different stories from the Bible, maybe even some of our favorite ones, where it either starts or ends with a choice, or maybe there's one in the middle. But there's usually situations where the people are left with a choice. And sometimes the choices were good. They led to a good outcome. They chose life. Other times, the choices maybe were not so good, and they led to some hefty consequences for the ones that made them. We were just talking about that earlier. You know, there's parts in Scripture where people have been dishonest and the ground opened up and swallowed them and just disappeared like they were never there at all. Excuse me, I don't really want to find myself in that situation. Thank you. But it seemed like the children of Israel were always kind of on a bit of a forward, backward, up and down motion with God. They're like, we're getting real close, and then we start to kind of back away, and then we're on the track, but then we get over here, but then we're on the track again, then we get over here. And it just seems like they were always just a little bit left or right of center. I always like to reference the time when, you know, Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God. And as soon as they saw him disappear up around that trail, they just, all right, he's gone. Give up. Melt down all the gold. Make a calf thing. We'll start praying to that. Moses isn't coming back. I really do wonder sometimes how long he had to be gone for them to start in on that. Was it immediate? Was it a week? I don't know. He was on the mountain for 40 days. But it was just enough time to make them think he's not coming back. We need to find a new leader. The nature's vacuum took over. And instead of choosing life, they chose death. There are so many more stories of people getting caught up in temptation and letting it get the better of them. I mean, we could probably stand here all day and talk about that. But the temptation gets the better of them, or simply choosing inaction can lead to great despair. And we've got a really good tool that we can look back on. The Word of God is not just a list of God's will. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts and that kind of thing. It's a roadmap. It's something that we can look to. It's a history. And you don't know history because it's fun and it's happy and it's always leaves you with a warm, fuzzy feeling. You look at history to know what happened and to make sure you don't repeat any mistakes. And on the plus side of things, you can look at the things that work and you can do those because people have already tried it. As we go on into this, let's keep that in mind. So our choices are ultimately what we become. So we have to be diligent in making the right choices. We have freedom to choose blessings or curses, life, death. And I know what some of you are thinking. I'm sure would love to have some of those blessings, right? Oh, that'd be nice. I'd love to get a hold of some of those blessings. But why? Once again, who in their right mind would choose curses? And again, that's one of those things, yet seems dumb. It seems like it's just absolutely counterintuitive to anybody that has common sense. I'm going to choose curses today. We don't technically choose curses more often than not. The curses are a natural consequence of something that we've already chosen. So, for example, say I decided to speed through a school zone. My only excuse is I was in a hurry. The natural consequence of this would be getting pulled over. Now, the curse is the ticket. But I'm sure we could probably come up with a few more examples of that too, but let's go ahead and move on a little bit. We're going to take a little time. We're going to see what God has to say about this. So now is when I need you guys to go ahead and go back to that Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's only 20 verses, so we're going to read the whole thing. I'll get us out of here before 2. This half of the chapter is entitled Prosperity After Turning to the Lord. So when all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes, and he will have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This part here is entitled The Offer of Life or Death. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend to heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea and get it to proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's dive in a little bit here. So verses 1 through 10 are directed towards the Israelites. God wants them to turn from their wicked ways and come back to the center of his will, where they belong. He's telling them that no matter how bad they think they've beefed it or how far from him they've run, that God is always right there with open arms. Now, he's just waiting for them to align their hearts to his. That's really all it takes. Now, for some, I'm sure this felt like a monumental task. I know a lot of times to align my heart to the will of God is a bit of an undertaking because that's not my natural default. Believe it or not, some folks that know me better know that my natural default is anger. That's a comfy feeling for me. I know how to live there. I'm not so good at living in compassion and reaching out and fellowship and that kind of thing. That's something God's working with me on. But not only did they have to stop doing all the wrong things, they had to start doing the right things. I brought something today. So, I think all of you probably know what this is. Right? We know what this is. Yell it all out. Yeah, everybody yell it out. What is this? A yo-yo. What do we know about a yo-yo? It goes up and down. Sometimes it goes out. Sometimes it goes around. Ooh. I'm not here to do yo-yo tricks today. So, this is the daily struggle. Right here. We start off in the morning, we're at the top, right? I know that I've had days where I start at the top and I feel pretty great. But then later on, I'm sitting there at the bottom and I'm just spinning. I'm not doing anything. But the cool thing about that is when I'm tethered to God, he gives me a little tug and it draws me right back. That's really awesome. So God is right there. He's always got us, right? Now, eventually we go back up, and then we go down again, and we go back up, and we go down again, and we go back up, and on and on and on. Welcome to being a human with emotions. That's exactly what it is. We're always on this kind of a thing. I don't know anybody that just goes up and stays there, and I don't know anybody that just goes down and stays there. We're on a sine wave, and we're always crossing that center line. But this daily struggle, that up and down and up and down, the crazy thing about a yo-yo is that if it never leaves the hand that holds it, then it can't get to the bottom spinning, right? Well, that's where the similarities end, because the yo-yo is meant to leave the hand. It's meant to do things. You know, that's when it's its happiest, when it's doing what it was created to do. We're not yo-yos. We're people. We're created to be in the hand of our Creator. That's where we function the best. Now, at the top with him, this is where good things are at. At the bottom spinning, that's where the curses are. We want to spend as little time down there as we can. So the message that he's trying to get through to the Israelites here is stay in my will, and I will heap blessings on you. He literally tells them, stay in my hand, and I will care for you. That's where life is found. Not at the bottom spinning, that's where the curses are. So who wouldn't want that, right? Let's look at the yo-yo again. Here it is, it's safe, it's warm, it might be comfortable. Are you comfortable? Do you think it's comfortable? Okay. But when it's in my hand, it's not doing the thing that it's made for. That's the difference between us and yo-yos here. We're not meant to do this up and down, up and down, up and down. But the thing about this yo-yo, it was sitting there on the shelf. It was waiting on somebody to come and buy it. It did not have a choice who it was going to end up with. This yo-yo doesn't have free will. It's a yo-yo. It can't choose the hand that holds it. We've got an edge on that. We get to choose. We have been given the ability by our Creator to choose to do His will and join in His blessings. And now, I don't know about you, but it makes me really, really glad that I'm not a yo-yo. So, let's look at verses 11 through 20 here. Now, these next few verses, they kind of give me chills a little bit because there's a kind of an almost like a dichotomy going on here. I know that God is directly speaking to the Israelites, but it almost seems to me like there's a little something extra. I see this a lot in the Old Testament when God is talking to the prophets or to Moses or to Joshua, or, you know, anybody that he's directly addressing in there. And there's a lot of things where it's like, yeah, this is specific, this is for them. But to me, in 11 through 20, it's almost like, yeah, he is talking directly to the Israelites, but it's like one of those movies that you see, you know, you got this hostage in a chair or something, and they're talking about things to their captor, but at the same time, they know somebody else is listening that's trying to come and save them. And so it's one of those, almost like a dual conversation going on. Yeah, he is telling the Israelites directly that these blessings and curses are for you. But he's also talking to us. He's telling us in that moment, because he knows, being there, being here, being there, you know, in the past, in the present, in the future, all at once, which is something that I'll never understand about God until I get to heaven. But this promise, he is saying it to them just as much as he's saying it to us right now. That if we choose him and we choose to be in his will, I mean, there's probably somebody in here that could take this out of my hand, but I'd fight you for it. Do you think anybody could wrestle you out of God's hands? Problem with all that is we are slippery little demons. We are some slippery little creations, and we will wiggle, we will scream, we'll kick, we'll bite, we'll cry, and we'll do everything we can to slip out of God's hand because we decide that we want to go and make our own decisions. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know, well, I'm just going to say it. How many people in here have ever made a decision on their own plan and had it come out like they thought it was going to? Let's see. I didn't see any hands. That's exactly what I thought I was going to see. So, to me, this is where things start to get really, really cool. Because verses 11 through 14 here, they're saying that our salvation is not something that's out of reach. It's not some abstract concept that we only have to that we can only think about and we can never attain it. There are some certain sects in this world that believe that God is never to be understood and that we can't get close to him. And because of that, we shouldn't even really try. You know, we should just continue our earthly, wormly existences and then go back to the dust where we belong. And I don't agree with that at all. God has specifically told us that he wants to know us. He wants to have that one-on-one relationship with us. And that's beautiful. That the creator of the universe took time. He stopped and said, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. And if we could all just get it into our hearts and our minds, how amazing that really is. I think we'd start seeing revival here. We'd start seeing it over there. But our salvation is as close as our mouth and lives in our heart. And all we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and we will be saved. That is Romans 10:9. Now, how do we do this? So Jesus laid it out bare in Matthew 22. In verses 34 and 36, a Pharisee asks Jesus what the greatest commandment was in all of the law. And Jesus didn't have to think about this. He says, love God first. Resounding. God comes before everything else. And to make it even better, he said the second was like it, and it was to love other people. And now that really turned those guys on their heads, because this was not a common or popular notion back in that time, especially for the Pharisees, because they saw everybody that wasn't part of their little group as lowly and dirty, and they would stand in the synagogue and pray, Lord, thank you that I am not like this tax collector. I don't think that's the way you're supposed to play the game. Once again, that was not a popular opinion then, and for a lot of situations, that's not a popular opinion now. So far, I've gone on about how to stay in God's will. You know, you stay in His hands. But what happens when you're spinning for too long? It's lost all of its momentum down there at the bottom. It's got nothing left. So what can I do with this? That motion used to bring it back to my hand, right? To get it back up the string. So what happens now? That's just the end, right? We just cut the string, fall to the ground, roll away, get kicked under the bed, never see it again, right? Well, now I'm just kind of hanging out, right? All these things that I used to do to get back up there is just not working. I don't know about any of you, but I have been in this situation numerous times. I can think of so many times in my life where I just thought I was at the absolute rock bottom. There's no way I'm coming back from this. I've screwed up way too bad. But what happens now? This is what you call a dead yo-yo. This yo-yo can't do anything. Now, this is, honestly, this is something that when you're learning to do tricks with a yo-yo, you do this kind of thing so that you can do your tricks without having to worry about smacking your finger and it doesn't come back and whack you in the head while you're trying to do the, because the string tricks, you know, if you give it even just a little bit of a this, it's coming back up to your hand. But there's also times where you're playing with the yo-yo like you're supposed to, you know, and then you're doing your tricks, and then maybe you caught it with your finger, or it hit your pants, or it might have hit you walked the dog for too long, and it stops spinning. So what do? Sometimes we need a little help. Sometimes we need someone to come alongside and lift us up out of that place that we're in, because we can't do it ourselves. But when we're in this moment right here, when we're down there at the bottom, this is where we really, really get raw. This is where we need to open ourselves up, because God is never farther away than us just turning around and confessing that we need Him. And He will reach down and He'll pick us up out of that place of despair, that place that we thought we had no way out from. And He starts this process and we kind of start to feel a little bit better. And we start to kind of get recharged. And as we go through this process, the string is getting shorter. And that distance between us and God is getting shorter. And that distance between us and happiness is getting shorter. And that distance between us and our place where we belong is getting shorter. And we finally end up finding ourselves back where we belong. And God has restored us, and we can now go back to doing things. So, but basically, when we get back into God's hand, we are free. We're held, but we're free. We're free to do the things that we're supposed to do. We're free to love God and love others, and it works like it's supposed to. We're safe in His hand, and we're free to be the creation of God. So in short, it's never too late. You find yourself at the end of that rope right there. You might have a little bit of spin left in you, but it doesn't matter if you do or not. So all you have to do is come back to God, and He will take you up in His hand, and He will bring you back to a place where you can get back to all of the wonderful things that He has in store for you. Just go back to where you belong. I know it sounds, it's simple, but it's not always easy. And those are two different things. Simple just means there's not a lot of steps to it. But it's a hard road. But God is always there. He's always willing to get us back in His hand. So that's it. He just wants you back. And that's why I titled this sermon, Don't Be a Dead Yo-Yo. Well, God bless you guys. Let's pray. Father, we come before You in Jesus' name once again, and I do thank You for this day. God, thank You for Your message. Father, I pray that You would touch hearts today. Father, that You would help people remember that all they have to do is turn around and come back to You. So Father, we are made to be in your hand. And Lord, I just pray that you would take away anything that's between you and us that would keep us from doing that. Keep our tether strong. And Father, help us to go out and do the things that we know that we're supposed to do, and help us to draw those others in. God, I thank you for everybody that's here. And as we go on throughout the rest of the day, the rest of this week, I pray that you would help us to get out and do your work for the kingdom. And Father, I just thank you once again for your word and your love. In Jesus' name.